would y'all come and sing a few songs for us, and we'll get Brother Brent to come preach to us. And I want to encourage you, church, to be faithful to each night and invite people to come. If you know some families and other people, I know they may have their church tonight, but if you know some families that need some help, or just anybody, invite them to come be a part of the services. Amen? All right, Brother Dan, y'all come sing for us.
Understood why he loves me. I just have to thank God that he does. I'll tell you that. What a Savior. Get there in just a minute. We are thankful to be back at White Oak. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God we got to be with you in your meeting, but we're in another building, so we're glad to be back here in this place,
yeah,
too. And we had a tremendous meeting with you folks, and we're so thankful for it.
Amen.
And we're looking for the Lord to do it again. Amen. And I'll tell you what, I'm excited. I'd love to hear Brother Logan preach, and I'm glad to be here this week in the meeting. I'm going to get here in just a minute, where we're headed at. Y'all stay with me. Don't give up on me. I won't give up on you.
I'll stay true.
33 in this book. Got too many songs, that's the problem. Oh. And so...
As a child, my mom and dad spoiled me good from bad. They told me of my Savior and His love. They said I'd have to make my choice, that I should listen to God's voice. I'm so glad that I look to them and say, I'll stay true to the Lord. I just cannot afford the awful price that sin would have me pay. I know the way of God is right, so I'll stay faithful in the trust in Christ, and this is what I'll say. I'll stay true to the Lord.
I'll stay true to the Lord
until my dying day.
I've heard Christians tell their story, and it seems they almost glory in their past and their sinful way of life. It seems that they're almost sad that they miss the life they had. In your heart, you think they go back again. But oh, please listen to this truth. Remember God while in your youth, before those evil days will come, when you will have to say, Lord, I went the wrong way. Why not turn to Christ and take your stand and say, stay true to the Lord. Oh, I just cannot afford the awful price that sin would have me pay. I know the way of God is right, so I'll stay faithful in the fight. I'll trust in Christ, and this is what I'll say.
I've decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. True to the Lord, I'll stay true to the Lord until my dying day.
Amen. Me the cross before they turn it back, face the cross. Wow. I always think about that. And,
that's what we need, and that's what we're looking for this week.
Yes, sir.
Lord, help us. Listen to preaching the word, just put the world behind me, the cross before.
Amen.
Just keep on marching on to Jesus.
Yes, sir.
I could have the nicest house. Oh. I could have the nicest house. He had served his master for 6 years since the day that he had bought him. Out of duty, he had done his master's will. But there came a choice that seventh year. Will you go out free or stay right here with the master's care that you enjoy? Servant, it is time to make your choice. Well, he looked around and saw his wife and his precious little children, the nice clothes and the shoes that he was wearing. His master had given him all these things before he bought him. He had had nothing, so he made his choice that very day with his master. He'd forever stay. He said, I love my master, and I will not go out free. From this day, my life shall be solely for him. Everything I have, he's given me. I'd be nothing without him. So his servant I shall be, I love my master. In sin's bondage I had been a slave till the day that Jesus bought me. Then I served him just because it was the right thing. But there came a day I would have to choose. Would I serve him because I loved him? Or would I go out and live for myself? Go my way to seek pleasures and wealth. Well, I looked around on the goodness of my dear master, Lord and Savior. How he'd blessed me with sweet love and grace and favor. His presence is better than all the world or anything that it could give me. How could I trade his love for anything? I've decided I'll live for my King. 'Cause I love my master, and I will not go out free. From this day, my life shall be solely for him. Everything I have, he's given me. I'd be nothing without him. So his servant I shall be. I love my master. Everything I have, he's given me. I'd be nothing without him. So his servant I shall be. I love my master.
Lord, I'm thankful that he loves me, loved me first, and provided all that I have, and I'm so thankful for him. And good to have Brother Logan again here tonight. He's going to come preach to us. Y'all don't know him. He don't know you. But I believe the Lord has something for us tonight. So get your Bibles out, open it, and you guys help him preach. Amen. Give some kind of facial expression. And it'll help him either way. So said he used to preach on the street, so he's used to looking at ugly mugs. And so, but we're thankful that he's here tonight. So get your Bibles out and help him out and do the very best you can, especially kids, not to get up and move during the preaching. Need to try to take care of that before church, but we don't want to interrupt anything going on with the preaching of God's word. So Brother Logan's going to come preach to us. Brother Logan, thank you for being here, brother.
Well, good evening, church. That can be dangerous, but glad you're here. I'm just going to give you the benefit of the doubt that you guys are the best people in wherever I'm at right now. Where am I? Warrior. And so you give me the benefit of the doubt that I've got your best interest at heart while I'm preaching to you. And your pastor was telling me about your history and how the Lord has established a church here. That's amazing. It's good to hear what God has done. And, you know, we've got enough bad news in the world. Good news is find out what God's doing. We know what the Democrats are doing and the politicians. We know what the wacko people are doing. But I want to know what God's doing. And he's still doing some things. And I'm glad he's doing some things here, and I trust that he'll do some things in our hearts for the time that we're going to meet together these few days. If you have your Bibles, please take them with me to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 25. Isaiah is one of the most often quoted books in the New Testament. It's quoted in the epistles. You understand that your Bible is profitable wherever you read it. And though some of the things we're reading tonight have to do definitely with, you know, the children of Israel and even in the reign of Christ, but there are many things in here that have to do with us and apply to us, and that's taken many times through the book of Isaiah. There'll be a twofold application on many texts, but I'm not going to get into that, but there's some wonderful, sweet verses here about the power of God, and I want to preach about a powerful God. And the reason I think that's so important, you know, I'll preach whatever God wants me to preach, and I know that there are a million things that ought to be covered as we open the Bible. We need God to touch every part of our life. We need for him to talk to us specifically about our sins. We need to let him tell us where we ought to be doing a better job in whatever area of our life or our family. But if we're not careful, we can look at all those little details and fail to see the one that is invisible, the one that doesn't have any problems, the one that doesn't have any sin, the one that has no shortcomings, no failures. And I don't know about you, but many times I am tempted to look at myself. You know, somebody said about humility, and this is a great, great little phrase about humility. Humility is not thinking low of yourself. Humility is not thinking of yourself at all. And so many times, whether we mean to or not, our focus, our attention is on ourselves. Now, that's not just a pride thing. It could be just my problems, you see. It could be things that I need to get straight. But if our eyes are always on ourselves, they're not where the Bible tells us to put them. It tells us to set our affection on things above. That we're to seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So I don't know what your needs are. I don't even know anything about you. I don't know what your sins are. I could guess probably several of them. But I don't know what your problems are. I know God does. But tonight I want to look at a powerful God, and his power never changes. It doesn't change from generation to generation or age to age or dispensation. He's the same powerful God. And these are wonderful verses, and I want you to read them with me, would you? Isaiah chapter 25, the Bible says in verse number 1, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name. For thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Thou hast made of a city an heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city, it shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. And this is the verse I want to really have you to focus on. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. God will bless his word. Would you pray with me? Father, we pray that you would bless your word to our hearts. God, we're not even worthy to have a Bible, let alone open and read such a holy book like this. We're not even worthy to be in your presence or have your presence with us. But how we're thankful for the mercy and the grace of God that's brought you near to us. And so, Lord, we pray tonight that you'd have your will in our hearts, that your will would be done here tonight, even as your will is done in heaven. And God, that you would send your Spirit to give us understanding more about yourself. And Lord, we'll praise you and thank you for everything you do. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing I want to say about a powerful God is from verse number 4. He says, "For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy." God is a powerful enough God to give you strength. He's powerful enough to strengthen you. It's one thing, you know, if somebody has strength in themselves, but it's another thing if they can take their strength and strengthen someone else with it. In other words, if their strength is not just for them, and I'd say this, strong Christians, which we have very few of, strong Christians aren't just those that mean that everything is together in their life and well in their life. A strong Christian is someone that is not only strong in themselves, what God's done in them, but they're strengthening other people. Their strength is making a difference in somebody else's life. You know, we live in a generation that glorifies weakness. We do. We live in a generation that talks more about the downtrodden, people that have a problem, or people that are disenfranchised, or people that have got, you know, some issue of life, and almost people want to brag about that. You know, I don't know if you've noticed that in society, but people will even brag about their mental illness. Now look, I know that there's people that've got mental problems, even in our churches, and I've got to be careful because sometimes you get to preaching and you won't understand even who you're preaching to. Because I don't know you, remember? So I'm not belittling problems. But this is what I'm trying to say. If you've got a problem, we don't need to read on social media all the time about how bad an issue you have in your life. That is not helping anyone. Because you see, our weakness is not to be glorified. But you remember what God said to Paul in the midst of his weakness? He said, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." Yes, we're all weak. Yes, we're all needy. Yes, we're all powerless in so many areas. But whatever issue you've got or whatever problem you have, instead of looking at that, look at the God that is strong enough and powerful enough to help solve your problem, or at least be bigger than your problem is. Well, you're throwing off on people that have problems. I'm not. I just think I need to look. The better thing to do is look at a powerful God that can help me. He said, "Thou hast been a strength to the poor." God, you're able to strengthen somebody that is poor. You're able to strengthen someone that's needy. He says this many times in the book of Isaiah. Hold your finger there. Would you go to chapter 40? God is so strong that the weakest person in the world, he can make them strong. And I tell you what, church, when I look around the world, I don't see a lot of strong things. Somewhere the strength of God has not been appropriated to people. Listen, I see weak marriages. I see weak Christians.
Right.
They don't have enough power to overcome simple habits. Listen to me. I see weak churches that have no impact on their community or no impact in the world. I see weak prayer lives. Weakness everywhere you turn, you see people that have weak standards in their life. You see young people that are overcome with the simplest thing. You see Christians that are knocked out of church and are living that used to live for God and spent years and years, and the littlest of things will totally knock them out of their faithfulness to God. Why? Because weakness. Weakness. And you know, our weakness is really seen when the heat and the pressure's turned up. We really find out when the issues come and when the hard times come, we really see how strong we are. And what I'm seeing is that people are not very strong. Through all that COVID mess, you know what I saw? I saw how weak some of my good church members were, how weak, how little they could take. Now, is that not true? Now, we know that our nation's weak. I wouldn't even be surprised if our military is getting weak. Nothing surprises me in this day. Weakness of morality, weakness of courage, just weakness. And it's everywhere. But God has the ability to change that in people because He's so strong. So wherever you are weak, could you get to God and let Him strengthen you? If your marriage is weak, could you get to the powerful God that can strengthen it? If your family's weak, could you get to a powerful God that can change that situation? If your prayer life or your personal walk with God is weak, could you get to a powerful God? It's not about how strong you can. It's how you can get to a powerful God that can take people with no strength and strengthen them. He said in Isaiah 40, verse 28, you know the verses. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? I don't think some people have. That the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. And that would be enough if He stopped there. But that's not where our powerful God stopped. Though He is the Creator, though He never gets tired, He never gets worn out, He's never stressed out, He's never overwhelmed or overcome. But that's not just true about God. He wants to take what's true in His existence and do something in us. Because look at the next verse. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might. He didn't say to them that have a little might. He said, zero. To them that have no might, He increaseth what? Strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. You know, the Bible tells us we're to bear the yoke in our youth. You know, we've got some young men in our church, man, that they can do stuff I can't do anymore. Because youth is... youth has some strength in it that you just don't get unless you're young. I mean, guys, look, you know, I'm in my 50s. I've met all these, you know, middle-aged guys. They're trying to be 20 and 30 again. Just forget that. You can't be 20 and 30 again. It don't work. The youth is the area of strength. But you know what? Even in the youth, as strong as... the strongest we can be in our youth. The Bible says, even the youth shall faint. And the young men shall utterly fall. In other words, you can't depend upon your ability. You can't. The very best of us, we're all together vanity in our best state. But God says this. He says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their what? Strength. We need a strong church. We're going to have to wait on God. If we want a strong church, we want a strong life, a strong Christian life, strong family, you're going to have to wait on the Lord, because you can't do that. You don't have the power to have a strong family. You don't have the power to have a strong church. But I know where you can wait for someone to strengthen you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why? Because if he can be the creator, he can help you. If he's strong enough to make everything, he's strong enough to strengthen whatever's weak in your life. Look at chapter 42 of Isaiah. Isaiah 42, verse 5. Thus saith God, the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. I love this little phrase. And will hold thine hand. God said, I not only made you, I not only gave you breath, I not only made the world and stretched out the heavens, I'm willing with all that power to hold your hand. He says, and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people and for a light of the Gentiles, as quoted in Acts 15, to open the, watch this power, to open the blind eyes. God can open blind eyes. I did a wedding yesterday, 2 o'clock. There were lost people there. The bride and the groom wanted me to give a gospel message. I did that. And the groom's birth father was there, and he's a wicked man, lost man, drunken man, awful man. And while I was preaching, he got up and walked out. He was angry. He grabbed his girlfriend's hand. They went out the door. But you know what I think happened there? Because that man would never darken the church door. I think his eyes all of a sudden got open. And he was uncomfortable with what he saw. He was uncomfortable with the fact that he had no love in his life. That he had no God in his life. I'm glad that God is a God that can open. He's powerful enough to open blinded eyes. We saw that with Jesus walking around, didn't we? It meant he'd touch blinded eyes and make people see. And they were so overwhelmed. Hey, we've never heard of anybody that was born blind that could see. Hey, he's strong enough to open blinded eyes, even if they were born in that condition. Remember when he made the clay and he spat? I think all those are great stories. Powerful God. You know what I see? I see teenagers that are blind. But God's enough to open their eyes. He's big enough to open their eyes. I see parents that are clueless. I see parents that they are making the biggest mistakes that ever were in their family, and they can't even see it. But God Almighty is powerful enough, if you'll have a right heart, he can open your eyes and help you see your blind spot. You know, everybody's got a blind spot, and you go down the road, and if you don't see that blind spot, you're going to have a wreck. And God wants us to see things that we can't see. And he has... Amen. He can see everything at the same time.
Right.
He's powerful. He sees your heart tonight. But he can help you to see. He can help you to see your child's heart. He can help you to see where you need some work in your own life, your own church. The Bible tells us he's able to open these blinded eyes. He says, not only that, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison. Isn't that good? Whatever's got you chained up or in bondage, he can get you out of that. And that's not just for lost people. Surely he takes lost people out of the prison house of the devil, but he can take saved people out of what's ever got them in bondage. And them that sit in darkness out of the prison house, I am the Lord. That is my name. Oh, that we would see a powerful God. I don't know about you, preacher, but I counsel a lot of people. I've got a lot of people to try to help. And ultimately, it always happens. They'll sit down and they said, they just give up. No help. I can't. Nothing's going to change. I can't do anything about this. I got this problem. This is my kid. This is my life. This is my... And there's no help. I give up. And what is always true about every one of those things, they fail to see God. Oh, if we could see how strong. He took his hand and he went like that and he hung out the heaven. He meted out the heavens with a span. That which the Hubble telescope, and they look out there and that they can't even get to the end of the universe. And God says the end of the universe is from here to there. That's the universe. I stuck it out there. All those galaxies you can't see, God said, I took my hand and I did that. But that same hand that was able to do that, amen, is able to hold your hand.
But notice back in our text, he doesn't strengthen everybody, guys.
He said in Isaiah 25, and this is the thing. He said, well, if God's so strong, why am I not getting some of that? I'll show it to you. Same reason in my life why I don't get the strength and power of God that I need. He said in verse number 4, for thou hast been a strength to the what? The poor. Oh, he's going to talk about people that don't have any money. Oh, no, no, it's a lot deeper than that. You remember when Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know what it means to be poor in spirit? It's the opposite of being rich in spirit, you know. When you're rich in your spirit and when you're full of your own spirit and full of your own self, see, that's the opposite of humility, you see.
Right.
He says he can give strength to the poor. Maybe we're not poor enough to get the power of God. The Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. He'll exalt you. If you humble yourself, he said, draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. But there's got to be some humility in that. I don't think that thing could be preached on, though. Because we, as Americans, amen. You know what's fascinating about getting around poor people? I used to have a different idea until I went to the mission fields overseas for 10 years. I thought, well, poor people are just automatically humble. Well, there is a little bit of truth to that. There's probably a lot more humility in poor people than people that have everything they need. Because, you know, when we have most of everything we need, you know, why do I need to trust God? Why do I need to humble myself? I got a credit card. You know, I can go to the bank if I need something, you know. I can figure it out. I live in America. I'll call mom and dad up. You know, I can pull myself up by my own bootstraps in America. And I tell you what, if you can't make it in America, you can't make it. That is true. But we have made it so well. You know what's wrong with our culture? They're so stinking proud. Pride Day? And what are they proud of? But it's not just the sodomite, pervert crowd. I mean, some of the proudest people I've ever seen in my life are church people. I mean, you have a family meeting like this in some places, and what it is, it's a meeting to show off my family. I don't know you people. So I don't. I'm serious. It's, look at my kids. I've never made at people that know everything about the family, and they've not had one yet to graduate from high school. It's amazing. And they've got it all figured out. Then your church people are some of the proudest people in the world. You know where you see that? They can't ever get on their knees very fast. They're too holy to go to an altar. They're too holy. They're too already arrived so much that they don't need to pray. And they don't even see that they need the power and help of God. We can have a good service without him. He gives strength to the poor. Those that are of that broken spirit. You know what he does to the proud? I read some verses here tonight, and some of it you might have thought, well, how does that go with what we just read? We read verse 1, that's great. We read verse 4, that's great. But verse 2 and 3, what's that about? It's about how God is bringing down the proud. You see verse 2?
thou hast made of a city in heap, of a defense city, a ruin. These people said, we're going to defend ourselves. We're going to build ourselves up. And God says, I'm going to just take you down in one swipe. A palace. We're a palace. He said, I'll make you where you're not even a city, and you'll never be built again. He said in verse number 11, look at that. He shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them as he that swimmeth spread forth his hands to swim. And he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands. And the fortress, watch it, of the high fort of thy wall shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground, even to the dust. Can you see the contrast? God can give strength to the poor. He can give strength to the needy. But those that have the high fence and the fortress and everything is way up there and they don't need God, he brings them down low and destroys them. He said in chapter 26 and verse 5, look at it. For he bringeth down, 26:5, he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city. He layeth it low, he layeth it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. I would submit to you that's where our country is headed. But that doesn't have to be where your life is headed. That doesn't have to be where your church is headed. You want God to bless your church? Just get as humble as you can. See what I said? Any blessing that has come on my life, probably besides the deep prayers of my parents and my grandparents and a good local church, and was when in my youth, with all of my pride and having a good time, I saw a need in a revival meeting. I needed God, and I needed to humble myself before God. And I just dumped all the dreams and wishes and plans and goals of my life at the foot of the cross and said, God, I'm nothing. And without you, I can do nothing, and I know nothing. And my poor, pitiful life, how terrible it might be and insignificant it might be, would you please take it? And here it is, God, make it whatever you want. Humility. Read about all those old revivals. You say, why don't we have all that? We don't have that kind of humility. You know that. People are not humble enough to let you preach to them. Now, y'all have done pretty good here tonight. But I haven't got very personal with you yet. You can check people's humility real quick by getting real personal with them. The Lord is a strength to the poor. And then he says he's a strength to the needy in his distress. One of our greatest hindrances to revival is that we don't think we need it. When we're in such a case, we're like those of Laodicea that have need of. And you know, we're not just needy when we see our need. There's so many things that we need that we're not even aware of. Psalm 40:17 said, I am poor and needy. Just like this verse. You know what the rest of it is? I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help. You remember what he said in Romans chapter 5 when we were yet without? Christ died for the ungodly. When we saw ourselves in need of that strength, he's able to strengthen us with all might by his Spirit in the inner man. You know the verse. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, but it's Christ which strengthened me. I've got to see my need of him. And there is no revival with people not seeing their need of him. And there is no power without people seeing their need of him. Preaching to the book of Nehemiah, and the reason that God's power worked through Ezra and Nehemiah is not because they had everything right. They were a mess. That remnant was a mess. But they knew they needed God. God says, I think I'll go down there and strengthen the needy. I'll strengthen the one that sees that they need. Strength is not in education. It's not in religion. It's not in morality. It's not in our muscles. It's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in God. But we'll never get that strength until we see we need it. I've been preaching long enough that I can get up and preach. I gotta say this appropriately. I can get up and preach and do a pretty good job without calling out to God beforehand saying, oh God, I need. But you know what? There's no strength. And we can go to church and we can have a good service and we can get through it and everything, everybody will smile and leave. But if we don't come to church saying, oh God, I need you. I'm waking up this morning, coming on Sunday. I'm coming to revival on that night, not just to hear a new preacher or to hear the good songs or just because we're doing it. But, oh, God, I really need you tonight. I need something from you tonight. That's where the power is. I'm saying for the most part, I don't think people approach God too much that way. He says, you want my strength? It'll be to the needy. I see something else here. Would you look at it with me, please? He says in verse 4 of Isaiah 25, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm. God is not only powerful enough to strengthen you, he's powerful enough to you to run to him. He's powerful enough for you to hide from whatever's going on. Look at verse number 20 of chapter 26. Now, we can talk about, you know, there's a lot in Isaiah about the tribulation period. You can talk about, guys, listen to this. I better read the verse first. Verse 20. Isaiah 20. I want to get in gear before the gas is ready. Verse 20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment till the indignation be overpassed. The Bible letting the children of Israel know that they can hide in God, and it doesn't matter how awful it gets. He is a powerful enough God for him to be a refuge from whatever storm is coming. If Satan himself is bringing a storm, you can hide in God. You know, in that tribulation period, all hell's going to break loose. And I'm glad I'll be gone. I'll be gone. I still believe, amen, what I was taught as a child. I'm a premillennialist. I'm a pre-tribulationist. I believe all that. The church is, we're not looking for the Antichrist. We're looking for Christ. We're looking for Jesus Christ. I'm not worried about the mark, amen. I'm listening for the trumpet to sound. I'm going to go up. Not worried about all that. I had to correct some of my people, you know, a year and a half ago. Oh, the vaccine is not the mark of the beast. Hey, is the mark of the beast? Look, if you don't, I don't care about the vaccine, but I do care about you thinking it's the mark of the beast. I freaked out so bad they thought they were in the tribulation. Guys, we have been spoiled rotten in America. We have freedom. And then when it starts being itched away, we just freak out. You know what I got? Should I tell them, Lord? You know what I got to think about the other day and meditating on? So, what if Putin does push the button? You know that's possible. And we have nuclear fallout. I probably won't have to worry about it because I'm about 30 miles from a nuclear power plant, so I'm sure that's one of the red dots there, right around Huntsville. I'll be gone. So. But what if you're digging out of a nuclear fallout? Can you imagine what America would look like after some nuclear bombs hit our cities? That could happen. And you know what? If it happens, God's program is still on time. Do you know God does not set his clock with America? Whether America is here or not here, it doesn't have anything to do with God's plan. We don't have to be here. But just say, what if that happens? How real is my Christianity going to be? You know what I really believe? I believe it doesn't matter what happens, there's a refuge from the storm. And if they can find it in the tribulation period, which is a whole lot worse than a nuclear fallout. I mean, a third of all the green grass burning up, animals dying, the sun scorching men with heat, the waters turned to blood, you can't get anything to drink, outer darkness all over the face of the earth, most of the world population dying, not just one country, all over the world. God allowing devils to come out of the bottomless pit to go around and sting people and torment them. And that's not, we're not even getting to the Antichrist work. That's God's work. Men's heart failing them for fear and wanting to die and can't even die. But in the midst of the worst time that will ever be in the history of the world, you know what God says to his people during the tribulation? You know what he says to those Jewish people? Come here, come hide. I got a place for you to hide. And if they can love not their lives unto the death, I think I ought to be able to get through. Oh, it's so difficult. A gas prices. You know, for most of humanity, we ain't had any cars. It's like that man coming up to me on mission field that I pastor. He said, Pastor, you got to help me. I said, what's wrong? He said, I can't pay my electric bill. This is when I was in Greece. He said, I need money to pay my electric bill. And it was bad in Greece, man. And I said, I'm not going to pay your electric bill. He said, why not? I can't make it. I can't live without my electric bill. I said, Telemachus, people have lived without electricity for thousands of years. Isn't it crazy how we think? Here's what I'm trying to tell you. God is powerful enough. Look, you could be going through all kinds of storms. You can be in a storm that God made for you because he's chastening you. And if that's the truth, you know what you need? You need to run to him. You need to run to him and find a refuge. I can't tell you. I can't even say in a mixed multitude crowd here some of the family problems and kid problems that I've had to deal with in the last 3 or 4 years. That are enough to make a normal person go insane. But I'm telling you, in spite of whatever is happening in the world or your family, there is a refuge you can run to. There is a place you can hide. He says he's a refuge in that time of storm. Let me just quote these verses to you. The Bible says in Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 62:8, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Think about that. Meditate on that. Let it stay with you. Deuteronomy 33:27, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. There's such a place that we can hide. And maybe the problem won't be fixed, but maybe you can find a place to hide. The Psalm David said in Psalm 61, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than thou. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from thee. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. Oh, have you learned, you know, people run to their preacher, they run to everybody else in the world, and I understand that, but why can't we run to God? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. I'm talking about a powerful God. You say, preacher, you believe in all them black helicopters, all them concentration camps they're going to put all the Christians in? I don't know. Do you think that they see us through our phone? And they're listening to our conversations? I don't know. It don't really matter. I'm not going to worry about keeping myself safe from the government. Because I can't. Put all the tape you want to on your camera phones. Get you a vehicle that has no electronics in it, so when the MP hits, you're fine. Do all that. I lived through the Y2K stuff. People going, they're going to protect it. Do all you want to do. But what I'm here to tell you is the only place you're going to find refuge is God. He's the only one that can keep us safe. It's not how wonderfully worded my constitution is in my church. They don't care about that. You know, the early church, Saul went into their homes, man. He made havoc of the church. He entered into their houses and violated their private homes. You know what the church found out? The church found out God is powerful enough to continue to help them. That doesn't mean everything went away. But if God's a strong enough God to save the guy that was pulling out of their houses and use him to build the church, I think God just sat back and laughed at the devil. The guy the devil's using to go in there and destroy all his people, God turns around and uses him to build God's people. You know why? He's big. He's strong. And all the nations are nothing but a drop in a bucket to God. They are less than nothing, the Bible says. What a verse. Less than nothing. America is less than nothing. And you know what? That's a lot easier preached than to live. If when the persecution and the wrath and the tempest and the rain and the flood and the storm comes. But what I'm trying to tell you is, that the refuge is there. He's not only a refuge from the storm. Would you look? One more thing in there. Actually, there's more than one thing. But y'all, everybody doing all right? Verse number 4. I'm getting help preaching to myself. Amen. Hey, quit watching the news. Get off all that social media and all that wicked TikTok and Pinterest, or I don't even know what it is. I don't do none of that stuff. I don't even care. You know what people get on there and it drives them crazy. That they don't look as good as somebody else and they don't have what somebody else has and so-and-so said this and our world is this way. Who cares? He says in our verse, He's a refuge from the storm. I love this one. A shadow from the heat. When the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. A shadow from, you know, we had our family camp. We got in that family camp. And I said, you know what I said? I said, thank God for air conditioning. Do you know how backslidden we'd all be without air conditioning? Amen. You'd check our spirituality real well if he turned off the AC on purpose. Yeah. My AC went out in the house we live in, and we're trying to run around and get it replaced. Amen. I thought my wife needed to get saved again. I'm kidding. That's a joke. But it's rough. I mean, she's in there. Come on now. She's in there cooking on that stove. And the AC's not working, so what's happening in the house? It's getting even hotter. You say, open the window. It's 100 degrees outside. Right? You check your spirituality real quick when it gets hot. I guarantee you, if this church didn't have air conditioning, somebody'd leave. I'm not going to that church. They don't even have air conditioning. Right? Well, having said all that, I appreciate it. Amen. I drove down here. I had air conditioning on my backside. Praise God. I pushed a button. It's blowing from the back. I don't like being overheated. I like it cool. We get in my church, you know, and I'll say, we get the thermostat pretty low so people don't go to sleep. And I'll say, how many of you cold? And half of them raise their hand. I said, how many of you hot? And the other half will raise their hand. You can't please Americans. They got about a 2-degree grace period. Isn't that right? And son, if it ain't in that 2 degrees, I can't listen to the preaching. I lose my smile. Come on now. We are so carnal. But you know, God's so good to us. He said, I tell you what, when the heat gets turned up, I got a place, I got a shadow for you. You can come sit down under my shadow. Oh, great verse in the Bible, Song of Songs. The Song of Songs, amen. When he says, I sat down under his shadow with great delight. His fruit was sweet to my taste. His banner over me was love. There's something about God. If you can get under his shadow, if you can come to him and get in his presence, it doesn't matter how hot it is outside, amen. If you can get even under a shade tree with a little breeze blowing, amen, in the heat of the day, you'll find some comfort. That's what God did in Jonah's life. Old backslidden prophet up there. He didn't care about anybody but himself. He had no compassion on the multitudes. But yet, when he got under a shadow, he was pleased. Because it wasn't beating on his head anymore in the heat of the day. He had a little comfort. But God was the one that gave him that comfort. You know, God wants to be a shadow from the heat for you. I don't know what furnace is turned up in your life. But I do know that we have a shadow of a great rock. And the psalmist said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. You see, it's one thing if you're sitting in the shadow of that nice oak tree and you're on that swing, sipping that iced tea on a hot day and the breeze is coming by. But it's another thing if you can get in the presence of God and feel that breeze, even though the heat is bearing down on you. He's a shadow from the heat. You know what's sad? There are people burning in hell in the hot flames of hell tonight that all they had to have done in their life was go find a shadow in God, and he would have been a shadow from the heat of the burning flames of hell. But they never ran to that shadow. They never came to God. And I want to go back to Isaiah. He says in chapter 25, he's talking about these wonderful things of deliverance that he's going to bring in their life. In verse number 8, he'll swallow up death in victory. What a victorious God we have. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. What a wonderful thing. Chapter 26, verse 1, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. God is not only powerful enough to strengthen you, and God is not only powerful enough to give you a place to run to, but God is powerful enough keep you, to keep your mind. People are losing their minds everywhere. God can keep you sane. You say, well, you don't know what traumatic thing I've been. God can keep you sane. By the way, he can also scramble your brain. God can make you go crazy. That's more than one time in that book. Read the book of Daniel. He can make you go crazy that fast. The God that made your mind can make you go crazy, and the God that made your mind can keep you sane and keep you at peace. Oh, we're having such problems with people living in peace. Why? Because they've not found their peace from God. They've not put their minds and thought on things above, and they've not thought on those things that are lovely and of good report and virtue and they're true. And what's all that? Jesus wraps up all that package. Look at chapter 41 of Isaiah. He's powerful enough to hold you together is what I'm trying to tell you tonight. He can hold you together. He can hold your marriage together. He can hold your family together. He can hold your church together. He can hold your sanity together. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 41, I love the verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God says, I'll hold you together. Guys, have you not noticed things are breaking apart? Things falling apart everywhere you look. Not just on our nation, but in our churches and people's lives. They're just falling to pieces. God is powerful enough to keep it together. But we've got to get to God. That's the purpose of, one of the purposes of the church and the Bible, to remind us we've got to get to God, because he's the only one that can keep us together. He's the only one that can keep me sane, and he's the only one that can hold me up and keep me together. It's not my 5 points and 12 outlines and my book on the love languages, which I do like, that'll keep my marriage together. It's God. And if he doesn't do it, it won't be done. It's not all my programs of the church or making sure we do everything right. It's God that holds it together. He not only created all things, but by him all things consist. They stay consistent and together because only Jesus can hold it together. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 1, after he created all things, the Bible said he upholds all things by the word of his power. Did you know if the sun just moved a little bit this way, we'd all burn up? You know if the moon moved a little bit this way, all the tides and the atmosphere, everything in our world would be a mess. You know what? You know why all that stays in place? Jesus says to the Son, you stay right there. Can you imagine how God's laughing in heaven? All these people saying, you know, there's climate change and global warming. We've got to save the planet. They can't even save their addictions. They can't even help themselves. Let alone, you can't save a planet. You can't even figure out your country. People don't even know what gender they are. And you're gonna fix the problems of a planet? That's the biggest joke that ever was. It's a cult. You know why I don't care about that? Because God in his word promises he's going to take care of the planet. You know why? Because he knows you can't. You can kill all the cows so there'll be no more flatulence, and you can take away all the cars, amen, and you can throw all the coal away and everybody freeze to death. But God does not have a problem upholding what he created. He holds it together. You know how much pressure is in the sun? Here's the thing about God. He holds that sun in place. He holds that moon in place. He holds gravity. By the way, I believe gravity is God. I believe we don't fly off the planet because God keeps us down here. I believe that. Because we get out of here and we start floating around. You say, well, science can't understand gravity. They don't understand that. Amen. That's just free. God holds us down here on this planet. God makes my organs keep working. Oh, preacher, I'm working out, man. I do essential oils, and I eat organic, and I go to the doctor. If God wants your heart to stop, you're done. God makes your thumpity-thump keep working. That's right. Just like he makes your lungs keep... It's God that keeps you together. And when your time is to fall apart, you're going to fall apart. But God can... Here's the thing about God. He holds that sun. He holds that moon. He holds everybody on the planet in gravity. He holds the animals back. Why don't they all come in our houses and eat us? Because they're not like people. They actually obey God. Yeah. God holds the world together. He upholds all things by the word of his power. And here, he's holding back all that sun, that moon, all the gravity, all the people, all the planets, everything going on. He's holding. Watch this, watch this. He doesn't even break a sweat. He's not even stressed out. And here I am. Oh, how do I get this solved? How do I make this problem go away? What are we going to do? Oh, preacher, what are we going to do? Oh, God, what are we going to do? You know what we need to do? We need to go to a God that can hold it together. He can hold you together. He can hold these young people together. He can hold your church together. He can keep things from falling apart. David prayed, uphold me with thy free spirit. What I'm trying to tell you tonight is someone that can hold the world in place is someone you can trust with your whole life. It's where our faith should be. He is big enough. He is strong enough. He is reliable. There's nothing too hard. I don't know you. I don't know what you need. But I know you're needy. And I know the power of God is more than sufficient to save anybody here that's not saved, to help anybody that needs help. We've got a powerful God. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would do for us what we cannot do for ourselves and what nobody else can do for us. We pray, Lord, that you would turn our eyes upon you tonight. Forgive us, O Lord, of not humbling ourselves enough, acknowledging our need of you. Lord, I pray that you would help a young person tonight that's overcome with bad friends and bad choices. Lord, I pray that they would see that you're bigger than all that and that they would come and humble themselves and give their life to you. I pray, Father, for husbands and wives and fathers and mothers, good church people, Lord, that probably have issues and problems I know nothing about. But may we find the help that you're able to give. You are that refuge. You are that shadow. You are that strong one that we need. Meet our needs tonight, we pray, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Hymn of invitation being played.